All right. If you would, go ahead, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to preach God's Word during our Lord's Supper service. And it's a great, I think it's a fantastic time to come together and to honor the Lord's Supper service, to take part in that. I mean, think about it. This morning, what do we get to just get excited about? What do we get to remember? What do we get to reflect on? But the awesome victory that came through the empty tomb. The fact that our Lord and Savior has risen from the dead, defeated death. And because of that, now we have everlasting life. I mean, how exciting it is to just take time and to reflect back on that and get all excited. But then, what do we get to do tonight? Is we get to reflect on what it took to get there to the empty tomb. And we reflect on the sacrifice that he made on that cross. And I think many times when we think about the cross of Christ, we think about the physical torture that he went through, the humiliation and the suffering and the abandonment of all of his friends and whatnot. But we forget about, I think, the most ultimate part about the cross isn't necessarily the physical torture he went through, but remember, he bore the world's sins. I think what makes me shudder more is the fact that he had to face the wrath of his Father because of things that I have done. He bore that, not just the physical pain, but the total separation from God the Father. The whole weight of sins that I had a part in. And that to me, wow. It just makes me shudder to think, but then it makes me appreciate the victory so much more. So much more. And so tonight I just wanted to take a few minutes before we take part in the Lord's Supper and reflect on one of the aspects that really should be a defining moment of our life because of the cross. And that as a follower of Christ, my life should be a life filled with humility, humbleness, just like he showed. And so I wanted to take just a few moments tonight and share a few points on why you must live a humble life. Look at Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Paul writes here to the Philippian church, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for tonight and this opportunity. And Lord, thank you so much again for the sacrifice you made upon the cross for us. Lord, I pray that as we are gathered here tonight, Lord, we will just take the moment, take the time, and really reflect upon what you did for us and how we really need to humble ourselves. Lord, with that being said, I just pray that you can just humbly use me tonight to share your truth, and that all of us are just coming before you eager, ready to learn and grow from your word. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So why must you live a humble life? Well, the first way is, or the first reason is, because Jesus Christ humbled himself. I mean, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, humbled himself. Think about this. Think about how amazing it is. God himself was humbled. The Creator of all things was made low. It talks about in Colossians that it's by Christ that everything consists. And everything, in other words, that everything is kept together by Christ, and yet he made himself humble. Though the Bible says he was equal with God, he made himself of no reputation. No reputation. Romans 15:3 says, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Did you catch the key phrase? It said, Christ did not please himself. He didn't do this for him. He wasn't looking for how can I be just the top-notch person of all. It was through the cross work that he was able then to offer that forgiveness. He didn't please himself. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Did you catch that? He was rich. He was the creator of all. And yet he made himself poor. But not so that he could go, "Oh, look at how just meek and humble I am. You know, woe is me." No, he did it for us. He did it for others. He became poor that as a result, we could become rich. He humbled himself. He went as low as you possibly can go. You know, we have a tendency to think very highly of ourselves at times and how important we are. We can very easily slip into this whole mode of, you know what? They can't do without me. You know, if I was to leave, oh boy, that place would fall apart. That's what we do. But you know what? Christ didn't have that attitude. Listen, he didn't humble himself to the point of saying, "You know what? I'm here, you know, okay, so you can be better. Woe is me." No, his humbling wasn't some superficial humbling. Listen, think about how low he went. He didn't come down. He wasn't born a king. He was born in a manger with animals all around. I don't know if any of you have been in a barn, but it's pretty stinky. Okay? He didn't grow up to be some mighty warrior conquering the Roman Empire. No, he was the son of a carpenter. Very humble beginnings. And he faced one of the most humiliating forms of execution. Folks, you got to understand that in the Roman Empire, this itself was considered humiliating. Roman citizens were thought it was a horrible act. It was humiliating. To die on that cross was total shame. And yet he faced that not for himself, but so that we can then be made rich. We could have that eternal life. He wanted to give the greatest gift of all, and that was the forgiveness of our sins and being able to spend eternity with him. You know how long eternity is? That's forever. What an awesome gift that is. That's what we're here tonight to do, is to reflect back on that. Remember how much he humbled himself. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Listen, he didn't die for wonderful people. Okay? He died for sinners. And who all have sinned? Everyone. We all have. Every single person has sinned. And that's who he died for. That's what he faced that for. Romans 6:22 through 23, one of my favorite passages. Says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, he had to face the death in order to pay that penalty. And in order to do that, he had to humble himself. It was kind of cool with Pastor Dan sharing with us the fact that that he was God and man in one, the God-man. And that was the only way for him to be able to reconcile mankind to him. A complete and total humbling of himself. You know, it's very easy for us to slip into the mode of how mighty and awesome we are and all the great talents and things that we have. And I think when we start to do that, we start to lose sight, really, of the cross. We lose sight of what Christ really had to do in order for us to have that eternal life. And so I think we really need to take time and reflect. Really, have we been humble? Have we been humbling ourselves? Have we been forgetting the cross? Have we been forgetting why Christ did what he did? And take this as a moment to reflect on, listen, we need to be humble because Christ was humble. He made himself of no reputation, below it all, lower than it all. But the second reason why is, why should we humble ourselves? Not only because Christ humbled himself, but because the name of Jesus Christ is now a mighty name. Listen, he isn't just a person now that has defeated death. He is so much more. You know, we have a tendency to elevate people on pedestals. Sometimes, you know, someone makes a name for themselves. And next thing you know, we start, ooh, that's all we talk about. And, oh, you got to listen to this person. Or you need to read this book. Or you need to do this. You know, maybe they're an awesome speaker, a great writer, or somebody famous. And we have a tendency to start putting these people on pedestals. And kind of looking at them like they're above normal. But in truth, there is only one name that should be exalted. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. That fact alone should humble us to the ground, knowing that no matter how popular we may become, our name is still nothing compared to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:9 here, what does it say? It says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name." He has a name that is above every name. No matter how awesome you may think someone is, no matter how great you may think you are, our names pale in comparison to Jesus Christ. You know, a famous name may be able to get you into certain places. Okay? You may be able to go to some of the top-notch places, you know? Throw a name around. Hey, I know so-and-so. Oh, hey, come on in. But you know what? That's only going to get you so far. There's only one name. There's only one name that can get you into eternity with God. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. There's only one name where you can get forgiveness of sins. And that's Jesus Christ. Listen, I can tell you, it ain't Shannon Dan. Okay? Don't be looking to me for forgiveness of sins. You're going to be let down. There's only one name. And that should humble us. That should go, wait a minute, you know what? I'm thinking I'm special. But I can't get anyone into heaven. Only Christ can do that. Man, he needs to get the glory. His name needs to be exalted above every other. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 21 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Listen to this. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Isn't that awesome? Man, not only does he have an awesome name now, not only is he above all principality and power at this moment, but in the days to come, his name will still be mighty. His name will still be great. His name will still be above all principality and power and might. Man, I love how God, just in his word, he doesn't leave anything out. Let me tell you, that phrase there, it covers everything. Anything you can possibly think of that exists down here, guess what? His name is far greater. God has highly exalted Christ. That means he has elevated him up above all. Above all. Man, our lives should be a life of humility. Because we don't have a name that has the kind of power that Jesus Christ has. Only his name can do the things that it's done in this world. Only his name could conquer the cross. Only his name. You know, whenever we think that we've made a name for ourselves, we need to always keep in mind the name which is above every name and why he was given that title. It's only through him that we receive forgiveness of sins. It's only through him that sin is conquered. It's only through him that we can rest in the freedom. It's only in him that really we're able to do what we're able to do. You know, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now. Pastor Dan wouldn't be able to do what he's doing now. If it wasn't for him, for all I know, I would be dead somewhere in an alleyway, for all I know, the direction I was going. But let me tell you, his name cleaned all that away. Cleaned that all away. Man, not only did Christ humble himself, but he's got a name that is above every name. And why else should we humble ourselves? Well, it's because Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. Not only does Jesus Christ have a mighty name, but he is Lord of lords, King of kings. Philippians 2:10 states that at the name of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Think about that. How many knees is every knee? There ain't one left out, is there? That means that the name of Jesus, every single knee shall be down before him. Every knee shall be humbled. And he does it again. Every knee in heaven, every knee on earth, and everything under the earth. That's everyone. Even those that have denied know the name of Jesus Christ. They know then. They know then. Every knee shall bow. Every knee shall know that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no world leader today that can claim that. And no world leader will be able to. Only Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. It doesn't stop there. Not only will every knee bow, but verse 11 says, "In that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Man, every single person will know that there is no one mightier than Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it'll all be to the glory of the Father. You know, nowhere in this passage that we were looking at do I see anywhere that we're to exalt our own abilities. We're to exalt our own talents. We're to exalt, you know, our own capabilities. It's all pointing towards Christ. It's all pointing towards Christ. Listen, it is in him alone. It is in Christ alone that all honor should be given. He alone deserves all the glory. And we need to keep our eyes firmly on him. Never lose sight of what he did to get there. What he had to endure for us. Listen, it is in Christ, okay? It is in Christ that we have worth. Without Christ, we're worthless. We're worthless. Without Christ, we are hopeless, we are lost, and we're worthless. We're nothing. We are nothing without Christ. You know, there is no middle ground. You can't be someone in Christ and someone in the world. You're either in Christ or you're not. He either gets the glory or not. You know, I tell everyone in Freedom Found, without Christ, we're all equally worthless. We're all equally worthless. You know, you can take the most popular person in the world. If they don't have Christ, they're just as worthless as we are. Humble people without Christ. But in Christ, let me tell you, you've got that blessed assurance. You've got that awesome hope. You have that new identity of being forgiven. It is this awesome hope in Christ that should motivate us to not be pompous, to not get cocky, okay, but to be humble. Why? Because our whole goal should be for the world to see Christ in us. And as long as I'm puffing myself up, they're not going to see Christ. As long as I'm sitting there and moping at my problems, I'm not exalting Christ. Man, we need to humble ourselves. Get our minds fixed back on Christ and remember what He accomplished for us through the cross. Listen, we're all going to stand before Him one day. We all got to stand before Him and give an account of our lives. And let's make the most of our time here. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, "See then that ye walked circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, making the most of your time. Because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You know what's great about that passage? Is God saying, listen, you can be wise. He's not going to tell you to be wise if He knows you can't do it. There's no excuses. You know, especially at this great church, there are so many places and so many people that can help you be wise. You know, God says, listen, don't waste your time. The time is short. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Before we're done with the Lord's Supper, He could call us home. And listen, once we're up there, we can't share our faith down here. We got to make the most of our time. Don't get caught up in your own worries. Don't get caught up in your own abilities. Stay focused on Christ. Remember, He humbled Himself. Remember, He has a name above all names. And remember that He is Lord of all. How do we do this? I think Paul summed it up very simple. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Simply take your thinking and set it aside and start lining your life and your thought process with God's way of thinking. Humble yourself for others. I think Paul summed it up really good in Galatians 2:20. It's a really great passage. And if you really think about what Paul is saying here, it's really this whole idea of humbling yourself in a nutshell. He says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Did you catch that? There's the hint. Paul said, yes, I'm alive, but remember, I'm crucified with Him. I'm in Him. And as a result, His life is now going to live through me. It's no longer about Paul, but it's about Christ. And see, in my life, it needs to be no longer about Shannon Dan. My wife's life needs to be no longer about Shauna Dan, but it needs to be about Jesus Christ. Not my life lived out, but His life lived out. We live that in faith. We do that by remembering what He did for us on the cross and how He defeated death through the resurrection, and that only through Him do we have that eternal life. We do that by remembering that if Christ humbled Himself, we need to humble ourselves. We do that by remembering that there's nothing special about our name. There's only one name that's important, and that's Jesus Christ. And we remember that no matter what we may do, no matter what kind of level of leadership or ability or whatnot we have, there is only one Lord of all, and that's Jesus Christ. We keep our eyes focused on Him. We set ourselves aside and allow Him to be glorified in our life.